discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Arundel, England, April 1981. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Alan Weller, Jonathan, Sarah, Andrew, Sarah's mother Kate, Malcolm, Jeremy, Barbara, and Julia.
Being arises and falls away, visual objects arise and falls away. All conditioned realities arise and fall away.
Is it the same?
But it's anatta, that's not arise. All dhammas are anatta.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if arises or falls, nibbana is also anatta. Only sankhara dhamma is anicca, dukkha, but all dhammas are anatta. It's impossible to try to have something of nibbana because only the highly developed panya can experience it. Even it's said sometimes here and there in the Tipitaka, only those who have experienced can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the other people have to think and consider in order to be able to have some idea.
The Sotapanna has no more wrong view.
Mm-hmm. No more doubt.
But he still has conceit.
Certainly. Because there is the idea of I, the capital I, with attachment, or with conceit, or with wrong view. By three, akusala, mental factors. By lobha, or by conceit, mana, or by wrong view. My hair, sometimes, and my skin, my complexion, and my eyes belong to the eye with attachment. What is attachment to different parts of the body with attachment? But when it's wrong will, it must be a self. It cannot be anatta. How can it be anatta? Because it's something that is with wrong will. And when one does not have wrong will, but it's I who is very important. Who's me? Who's she? Who's he?
Can you explain to me a bit about this, the building up of stores? We think in terms of a special place, a pattern, a story. I mean, we have this daily life, it's a story of getting up, going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just thinking. It's not reality.
One should think what is real. Story is real when there is no understanding of reality which appears. When there is no understanding of hearing as just a moment of experience and senses, one takes the story from listening as real. Don't know that it's generated by thinking, or it's only the object of thinking. Concept is object of thinking. So one thinks, and one thinks that that is real, but it's only conventional truth, not absolute truth. When one begins to understand about absolute reality, one knows what moment is reality and what moment is only absolute truth.
What's that again?
When one understands the absolute reality,
yeah,
one knows when is the absolute truth and when is conventional truth. If there is no thinking, there is no conventional truth. Then
yes.
this minute, it's not true. Table is table. It's not a chair. But it's only conventional truth.
But the tape recorder then?
It's a tape recorder. According to conventional truth.
But it absolutely.
What?
It's just thinking. Objectively.
Can hardness be tape recorder?
Hardness is just hardness.
Mm-hmm. So when you touch it, it's hard at that moment.
Well, we have the idea that we have a machine. We think that there's the machine there which we can use to, and which contains various bits and pieces which can record and play back. But you're not saying
that. It's like beating. If there is no seeing, no hearing, no smelling, no physical body, can there be this beating?
No.
There cannot be this name.
No.
This is Sujin and that is tape recording, only names.
Just names.
You can change if you'd like to call that Sujin and this is tape recording.
But they're just names.
Yes, only for convenience.
There's a certain combination of things that makes up what we call a tape recorder or what we call a person.
And what about this table?
Yes, same thing. Certain arrangement of material that performs a particular function of being a place to put things on.
Just for convenience, to convey or to represent for communication.
Table.
And tape recorder.
Yes, that's the name.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic physical matter that gives rise to that name. Right?
What gives rise to sound?
It's not a tape recorder?
Only tape recorder?
Solidity.
Mm-hmm.
It's something my father finds very difficult. We were having some discussion when we were in Crete. I was trying to say a chair is only a concept, and he was saying, but of course a chair is a chair. Don't we?
I agree. Chair, yeah.
In reality, or?
Yeah, but it comes to thinking, the concept chair couldn't arise. There would be no chair.
Sometimes we don't have to use any term or any word at all, but we still know what we can sit on. Even we don't have to name it a chair.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it, but we don't have to name.
So we use name for convenience.
Yes.
On what we really mean, this one or that one.
That's right. But mm-hmm. apart from using a name for convenience, there's still the thing to which we give the name. When we say in reality there's no chair, right? We don't mean in reality chair is just a name. We know that chair is just a name. But what about the thing that we call chair? In reality, is there a thing that we use the name chair for convenience for?
Permanent one? No.
No, in reality, is there?
Permanent?
Permanent or not?
Right or not?
Because I'm not saying is it permanent, I'm saying is
there. But
when
you say a thing, you mean a permanent thing?
No, because I don't think the chair is permanent.
When is it not permanent?
Well, it's never permanent. Because now, it's not going to last.
Now? Is it not permanent now?
You can't say is it not permanent now, because permanent means forever. So you can't say is it forever now.
So you mean that a chair is not permanent now?
No, but it does exist now.
For not, how long?
Well, until it ceases to exist.
How long?
the life of a chair?
Yes.
Well, one can't be certain, but some of them exist for a short time and some for a longer time. None are permanent.
So when we think of a chair, it's permanent for a time, right?
It exists for a time.
It's not true.
Why not?
It arises and falls away each moment of these split seconds.
So is it right to say what we call a chair is nama and rupa arising and falling away?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of different phenomena arising and falling away.
Mm-hmm. Arising and falling away.
But there's no chair, but we label it chair.
Well, even if we say it only exists for a moment or a split second, it's still, there are a combination of materiality factors that exist for a split moment.
Of that chair, with
yes.
that chair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chair and form. So what is permanent and what is not permanent?
I think you're trying to change the subject.
No, it's the subject of a chair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We all know that different rupas arising together, and people take it for a chair. Rupas yes. are not permanent. So can a chair be permanent when rupas are not permanent?
It appears permanent. It appears to last.
And it will last forever?
Not forever, not permanent.
So even it seems to appear to last for a time, its nature is arising and falling away, passing away all the time.
Yes, but we don't experience that.
Shall we? Could we? If it's true, it can be directly experienced. When one says that seeing is not permanent, physical body is not permanent, can it be experienced? It can when it's true.
If it's true.
Mm-hmm. Anybody can experience the arising and falling away if he knows the way.
Rupa is, it doesn't have shape and form.
Visible object is a type of rupa, one in 28 rupas.
But paying attention to shape and form is thinking.
No.
So rupa, the...
It can be object of awareness. It can be object of great understanding. That visual object only can appear to seeing. People and things cannot appear to seeing. That is anatta.
If we're not sitting on the chair and there's no experience of the hardness through the body sense, then there cannot be any understanding of the characteristic of that rupa that we take for being the chair if it's not experienced.
For
be
the
seen?
One who, yes. For the one who doesn't know what it is called can survive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something when that person sits on.
Mm. Right.
That person has the idea that he is sitting on something,
right.
Not just hardness.
No, on something.
And what is true? Something is true or hardness is true when it's experienced through body sense. Because one is sitting on it.
Yes, but the concept of the chair, whether I'm sitting on it or whether I'm standing up and looking at it...
You change from experiencing hardness.
Yes, but this...
There's still the hardness of the rupa which makes up the chair, whether or not it's experienced.
If you haven't experienced that characteristic which is hard, you don't have the idea that that hardness is a chair.
No,
right?
That's true. Unless someone tells me about it.
So what is true, hardness or a chair in reality?
Well, both are true in a way, because hardness...
According to absolute truth and conventional truth.
No, not only just conventional truth, because a chair, or what we call a chair, is true whether we're sitting on it or looking at it or what.
You mean that there can be a chair without hardness?
There can be a chair without experiencing hardness, yes.
But there must be hardness, what we call a chair. If there is no hardness, nothing. No chair. So what is real, chair or hardness?
I think you're only giving me a limited choice here. Because if I say chair, you'll say, well, chair is just a name. I know it's just a name, but the thing behind the name...
But what? It's not a name, but what?
The thing behind the name.
No, it's not a name, but what?
But it's a collection of material factors.
How many?
I can't count them. But I don't have to count them.
But it can be the experience through eyes and body sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what can be experienced, just the characteristic of hardness. But can we not talk about anything which contains that particular collection of?
Yes, we can, through different domains, like seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Without seeing the shape and form, you don't call it a chair. Just experience hardness, you don't call it a chair.
It's all beyond me.
You try to find out the true nature of reality that we experience in daily life.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does the conventional term chair arise? If seeing sees visible object?
With that shape and form. It's not that shape, it's table.
And then, because of memory, one can mark it, that shape, and we know it's a table.
And one is taught from childhood that this chair and this table, to use the right word for it.
If it's an item of food, it would be the memory of the visible object and taste combined. If it's chair or table, I imagine it's just the memory of the visible object, because if you touch, they could both...
Okay, well then, what is that? Precisely, what is visible object? Everything which is seen?
That, yes, what is seen, what is recognised to be this or that object afterwards.
A visible object is just what is seen, there can't be any concept of a chair
or
table.
No, but it still sees exactly what it sees. It doesn't mean that it doesn't see what we take for being a table.
No, I realise that.
It sees that. And immediately afterwards, there's the memory that this particular
visible
object is a table because of certain features.
There is another reality which marks the characteristic which is experienced. As soon as you hear, you can recognize whose voice it is.
Mm-hmm.
Through memory or by memory, which marks different sounds as different thoughts or different people.
Difficult discussion going on.
Perhaps you'd like to explain to
Mum. I didn't understand it at all, so I wouldn't try.
Shall I go back to my kitchen?
Well, I've got Granddad Sherry.
So we've just been analysing a chair.
I can't believe you don't have a chair. I have a chair. I've got a chair. Too awful.
The chair is a chair, I don't mean it.
Tell me.
Now, I'd like to get back to concrete.
It seems like everyone understands what is around us, but one doesn't really understand the true nature of reality which appears in each moment, subtly. When one talks about the true nature of reality which appears, one begins to see that one does not really understand anything at all in one's life.
Well, how do you get that? What does other people understand it?
By listening and considering about the truth of what one heard, so that one can see whether it's truth, the truth or not.
Are you trying to
teach
that? Yes?
When you say considering, do you mean know, analysing what people say, or is it considering to do with your perception of things?
For example, one should not give anything that one sees or hears or want to know, like world. Everybody talks about this world or the world, but what is it? He doesn't give anything that we should understand now. Life, what is life? This moment, what is this moment?
So if I talk about God,
yes.
How do you consider that?
What is God? Then I have to ask again. Right understanding comes from questioning, considering, in order to have so real understanding of
it. If I'm asking the important question that people tend to not ask,
When one can understand it, it means that one can prove it. If we talk about seeing, we can prove what seeing is. But if we talk about God, can one prove? Or it's only idea, concept, or belief? If one is satisfied by thinking of the word or the meaning of anatta, that is not enough. One should think it and developing more understanding. There can be understanding even at this moment.
What you mean? What she was talking about? In the mind way, that you're kind of watching yourself and seeing mental tendencies arising within oneself and seeing them as being insubstantial in themselves. That's how I sort of relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's more subtle than that.
Yes, I'm sure that it's...
Otherwise, just watching is motivated by the idea of I can do something. It's not the development of right understanding that can even create the idea of self or being or thing in order to really understand the anatta-ness of realism.
You say that even that as I put it to you, the watching that imposes a duality, and there is actually no duality. There's nothing paradoxical, there's nothing to watch. It's just that the way I express myself in English. Is that how you say it?
It's like when we read about the Eightfold Path. It seems like everyone should develop the Eightfold Path, and Buddha urges everyone to develop it. But don't forget that he had said already that all dharmas are anatta. So when one reads about the eight factors, like right understanding, or right thinking, or the other factors, one should not take them all for I, who will have right understanding, or right understanding is me. Because it says that right awareness is aware, not you who are aware. Right understanding understands, not self or you who understand. Like he understands from here and here. They are all reality, they are all anatta. Each reality is conditioned. In order to really understand reality of not self, one has to understand that all reality, even right thinking, right awareness, even volition, they are all not self. They are only conditioned reality.
The way I've always thought of anatta, the way I've found it helped in my own life, is that I've seen anatta as one aspect of it, is that we all have this conception about ourselves. I'm such and such a person, I'm a sort of professional person, I'm a lawyer, or I'm an academic, or whatever. And this conception we have about ourselves sometimes limits us. Do you see what I mean? Limits us. It's a fixed idea.
That's right. It's not enough just to wish sometimes or consider only sometimes. There should be more and more considering, studying and developing right understanding. One has to be very careful to check oneself whether it agrees with what one has read about another, or it's motivated by the self. Because the I or by conceit, mana, or by wrong view, pity. When you study Dhamma all through one's life, never enough. Because it's the study of life, of the soul, of reality, which appears.
The same question, because it's when we have an idea of being able to control that, we want to do something for quick for results, so we try to follow some practice, but the more we begin to understand that the realities in life are beyond the control, the more we realise it. Not a matter of doing something special, but beginning to understand life more as a condition at this moment.
Yeah, I sort of feel like, I was going to ask about meditation practices, because it's a very popular thing to say, meditation in all forms. A lot of spiritual teachers say one has to meditate to evolve. Even Buddhist teachings. From what I've understood from the work point of view is that according to Jonathan, it's more important to develop one's right understanding, as we were talking about Anukar, than be attached or be involved in one's meditation practice. But my personal view is that I can see that meditation, my personal feeling on the matter is that meditation can surely help one. Just like saying manure can help the garden to grow. Yes. You know, eventually you have to harvest your own garden,
yes,
and appreciate your own garden.
Shall we begin with what is meditation in order that we can meditate correctly? Because anyone who doesn't know anything cannot meditate or cannot do anything. Just do it. It does mean that it is correct, because one doesn't know anything about it. Just sit doesn't mean that one will gain any understanding, because one doesn't know anything yet. Everyone know how to sit, but can everyone know how to develop right understanding? So what is meditation?
They usually teach you to observe your breathing.
Why? See? Questions always come in order to have more and more right.